welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, a co-host, and with me today will be David Hulley, Emilio Danella, and Mike Gregg. This episode, we will be focusing once again on the latest transfer speculation surrounding Fulham. We'll also have three topics to discuss in the Cottage Talk Controversy Roundtable. However, to start the show, we will discuss the announcement of player departures from Fulham that were made public on Friday. But before we get going, I see that one of my co-hosts is already on the line. David, how you doing, my friend?
Hello, Russ. Glad to be back. I missed last week. Otherwise, I was at a wedding last week. Bored rotten otherwise. I've not been doing very much. So thanks to you. And also to Mike as well for his James Bond quiz. I've just been, or survey, I should say, not a quiz. Just been doing that. I hope you've done yours as well.
I have.
Picking the James Bond films in order is very, very difficult because you think you got it.
It was.
And you think, oh, actually, I like that one better than that one, and keep going back and changing it. So, yeah, that's been a good entertainment for me. It's all been a bit difficult otherwise. And to sum it up, I was in a rush to get to hospital yesterday. I cut myself shaving. Now I've got this horrible big blob on my top lip that won't go away. And one of my children said to me, are you trying to turn into Hitler or something? So that really sums it up. But it's horrible thing from cutting myself shaving. So really glad to be back and looking forward to all the stuff since we last talked anyway, Fulham wise.
Absolutely, David. Listen, plenty to go through. We're just waiting for the other guys to join us. But why don't we get going and let's start here, because again I did mention that we would be starting talking about player departures. And I'm just going to read this announcement that's actually on FulhamFC.com and just get your thoughts on it while we wait for the others to arrive. Again, it's entitled Player Departures. The club can confirm that Hugo Rodriguez will be leaving Fulham when his contract expires at the end of this month. Tim Hoogland, Gabor Kiroli, Chris David, and Adil Chihi will also be leaving the club, as will Josh Pasley, Solomon Sambu, Jonathan Vuatu, and Noah Baba. We'd like to thank all of these players for their contributions to Fulham over the years and wish them all the best in their future careers. Okay, so that is the list of players that have or will be departing shortly from Fulham Football Club. David, real quick, just what are your thoughts on the list of players? What stands out to you?
Well, I was going to ask you, actually, which one of those, Russ, do you think actually I'm most disappointed about?
No Baba?
Nope.
Chris David?
Nope.
I'm a loss for words, David. I'm not sure. Hugo?
Nope. I'll tell you then. I'm actually most disappointed about Solomon Sambu because when I've seen him play for the youth and everything, I thought he was excellent. I thought he's really got the makings of potentially a great workhorse in the centre of midfield there. So I'm actually disappointed about him. Obviously, I'm not disappointed about Kiroli. I'm glad to see the pyjama-wearing statue disappear. And I have a request to Fulham, obviously, that now I need some pyjamas, so I'm wondering if they have any spares going. Obviously, they've got to be clean and unused. But if anyone from Fulham is listening, I need some pyjamas, so could you get them up to me, please, quick, because I need them in the next couple of weeks.
Very interesting take there, David. And, you know, it's funny. I'm glad that you brought up Sambu because you've talked about him in the past, and I was going through all the names, and you finally landed on the name that I should have acknowledged, but very good by you. I'm disappointed by Chris David. You know, again, I'm not sure exactly what happened with him at Fulham, but it didn't work out. And also, Noah Baba. Noah Baba came highly rated. You know, again, I remember that there was a little bit of a tussle to get him to come to Fulham with Manchester United, and for some reason he came to Fulham, but for whatever reason, it never worked out for him. You know, that was one that actually surprised me, but the very interesting list, and I want to get our thoughts from our other co-hosts. I'm going to bring them on the line. Mr. Gregg, how you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I'm good, Russ. Looking forward to talking about things today, and thanks for letting me join your short notice.
Listen, it's great to have you as always, Mike. David and I were just starting the show to talk about the departures. It's funny because he honed in on the one that he was most disappointed as being Solomon Sambu. I'm curious your thoughts on the list and which one disappointed you the most that has now left the club?
The biggest disappointment for me was Chris David. It just hasn't worked out at all. And I'd still say he's the best passer we have in the had in the squad. But for whatever reason, it hasn't worked out. There's been enough managers who could have given him a chance. I'm yet to actually hear from anyone who's got first-hand evidence that he was trouble at the club. But, you know, he moves on, and I wish him well. And I think a lot of it's down to him. He's got to knuckle down, find a club, and work hard and prove people wrong. But, yeah, I was disappointed to see Chris go. Hugo, we expected, obviously. Not too bothered about Corrali or Hoogland. I heard David say about Solomon Sambu, and that is the name that a lot of fans have raised. And it's all on the back of the youth team and how well he did in, you know, in the televised games and the games people went to in that Youth Cup run. But I watched him a few times in the under-21s last year, and he hasn't really pushed on. His passing is still pretty poor. My understanding is they did offer him a year's contract, but him and his agent turned it down. And quite frankly, I don't see him as being good enough for the Championship. I see him at League Two at the very, very best. He's a bit of a cult figure, I know, but, you know, these players, not everyone's going to come through, and they're not all going to push on, and he's one of those who, we've got lots of talented youngsters, but I just don't think he's going to ever be at Championship level quality.
Okay, fair enough there. Not a problem there. Mike, you know, again, I want to go right back to you because you do spend a good amount of time following the youth teams. What happened with Noah Baba? He came highly rated, and I'm curious why he didn't work out. Did you get a chance to watch him at all?
Yeah, both him and Jonathan Baratu. I mean, they played plenty of games at under-21. I mean, Noah, you're never quite sure what his position is. Is it a fullback? Is it a centre-back? And again, we got him, you know, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, and you're right, there was a tussle. But just haven't pushed on. I can't see what his position is going to be. Decent enough player, but I know they've reviewed all the youngsters and the sort of paths into the first team if possible. And I think that's one of the reasons he's left is purely they can't see that happening. And with Jonathan, I like him. Again, his passing is not great, but he's a centre-back, works hard. I think he's going to find himself a decent team to play for. But then again, he's 20, I think he's 21 maybe. And you look at the centre-backs we have, then you have Donnelly, then you have Burgess. So you're looking at, you know, 5, 6 centre-backs even before Buratu. So there is no path for him to get into the team. So again, it's probably, you know, a decision just to let him go because they can't see anything from him first team-wise going forward.
Okay, very good. You know, again, we do have some really excellent prospects, you know, with the under-18s and the under-21s, and maybe these two players just were behind the others, and then they had decisions to make. So I can understand that. Again, I was a little taken back by Noah Baba because for whatever reason, his career never really took off of foam, and that one stood out to me. And, of course, the Chris David situation has always puzzled me, Mike. I still don't understand why it didn't work out with him.
No, I don't either. I mean, you know, defensively, he's never that good. That's for sure. But I just keep going back. You know, virtually every time I saw him, he would do one or two absolutely quality passes. And it's just so disappointing. We haven't built on that. And it needed a manager to have faith and give him, you know, 5 to 10 games run, but he was never going to get that. It was one or two games at the beginning of last season, and then obviously manager moves on and things change. I have my own theory on why Kit doesn't like Chris David, it's frustrating because now I look at the squad and we're desperate. You know, you've got Hardman, but after that we haven't really got a central midfielder who's going to spray the ball about.
Right, it's a very good point, and that's a concern that I have going into the season. Hopefully, they will be addressing that in the transfer market and bring in some more central midfielders that could possibly do what they need to do. You know, again, I'll keep going back that they never have replaced Danny Murphy. But the one thing I will say about Hyman, Mike, again, because I've been watching these under 20 World Cup matches, and he looks good. And I think, you know, again, I'm going to raise my expectations for him this upcoming season. He really has played well, and he does have that ability to spray the ball around, Mike.
Yeah, I see him definitely as that sort of, I'm going to use an American term, that quarterback role where he's sitting deep and he's looking to, you know, get it wide or get it forward quickly, but not in a direct way, you know, in a much more sort of skillful pinpoint passing way. So I'm hoping to see a lot of him this coming season. It's, you know, I don't care about his age. I think he's got the qualities to certainly start at least half our games this coming season.
You know what? He's proven me, because, again, watching him here, he's playing a more advanced role with the U.S. under-20s, but his passing has been really good. And, you know, again, he just shows the confidence of a leader, which at such an early age is promising to see from Emerson Hyman. But, David, before we move on talking about the departures, I want to get your thoughts about a player that had an up-and-down career, had a very good beginning. What are your thoughts about Tim Hoogland being I guess you could say leaving the club. What are your thoughts about him in his 1 year with Fulham?
I'm a bit disappointed, because I think he was a sort of a genuine player. You know, he put 100% into every game. He wasn't necessarily the best player we had, but early on when he was fit, he offered an extra dimension going forward. The problem was, obviously, as we saw, there was always a question mark about his defensive prowess or lack of. And we ended up a season where, you know, it was really hard to pick anyone at right back, because Grimmer didn't have the experience. We didn't think Richards was good enough, and we didn't think Hoogland was good enough. And so, you know, the situation was, we thought that Grimmer should probably be given the chance to gain the experience. But Hoogland, he unfortunately became a bit of a sick note again, which I believe had plagued him early in his career. And I would imagine that's why we only gave him a 1 year deal initially, to see how he went. And I think, you know, you can't be having players who are approaching 30 who miss more games than they play because of injuries and stuff. So it is a big shame, because I liked him. I think, you know, I'm sure Nina Bass will be very upset, because she liked him as well, I remember. But I think it's probably for the best, unfortunately, that we need people who are going to be more reliable, less injury prone. And also, defensively, you know, there were definitely question marks raised. So, despite the goals he banged at one end, he probably actually made up for it in other ways at the other end, I think.
Okay, very good take there, David. And, Mike, I'll give you a final say on these departures. I do want to ask you again, because I posted this on the Cottage Talk Facebook page, and so many fans were talking about Hugo's departure. Now, I expected Hugo to leave, but what are your thoughts about Hugo leaving, and then also what David said about Tim Hoogland?
I'll start with Hoogland. For me, it was a no-brainer not to sign him. He missed probably a third of the season for injury. Defensively at right back, my image of him is a winger going past him and him stumbling, trying to catch after him. You know, he worked hard. He scored a couple of interesting goals and at the beginning, and he was always a possibility for a sort of substitute defensive midfielder, but in the end, 30, injury prone over the last 3 or 4 years, time to move on from us. You know, it was a year, didn't go great, so happy with that decision. Hugo, I love Hugo. I mean, I always have done, and you know, I was always one of his fans, but I think it's right for both parties, you know, to go our separate ways. He is on a decent wage because he didn't take a signed non-fee. So it was all spread over the length of his contract. So it will allow us to bring possibly 2 or 3 players in, you know, covered by those wages. So, what disappoints me is people look back and they go, oh, he was rubbish and Matt Smith's great and all this kind of stuff. Just look at every goal we scored first half of last season, and you'll see Hugo pretty much involved, either scoring them or in the link-up play. So, you know, he did a lot better than people think. And Dave saw him at Derby when he was consoling the young players after that defeat. He wears his heart on his sleeve, and I wish him all the best. And I'm glad he played for us. You know, I always liked Hugo over the years, so and I wish him well.
I do too, Mike. You know, you brought up some excellent points. You know, he did wear his heart on his sleeve. He was someone that loved the club. You know, and I feel comfortable saying he loved the club and wanted the club to do well. So I will miss that, but you also brought up another good point. The fact that he's going now might open a couple more slots with his money. Now maybe we could buy a few more players because of his wages now being off the books. So, yes, I'll miss Hugo, but I think this is more of a financial decision, and I understand the direction that the club is going in. So, unfortunately, sometimes you have to say goodbye to some players, and Hugo is one of them that I'll miss. You know, again, he was hot and cold. You know, again, he'd have his good moments, he'd have his bad moments, but overall, I thought he did a decent job for Fulham Football Club. All right, guys, let's move on in Cottage Talk Quick Shots. That was the first topic. Let's go to the second one, and David, I'll go right back to you. Fulham announced on Wednesday the re-signing of Colin Woodrow until June of 2018. What are your thoughts about this contract extension for Woodrow?
I would imagine that you could kind of link this in with Hugo. I said before previously that you kind of, with Hugo and Woodrow, you had two similar-ish players in a way, although they're quite different in other ways, but I think there was probably never a place for both of them in the squad. So I guess the decision might have been made, looking at the whole picture or the bigger picture, that we're going to keep one and get rid of the other. And obviously in terms of age and wage, Hugo lost it on that one because he's, you know, much older and on a large wage. So it shows that you know, they have faith in Cawley still, because I suppose they could have actually said, no, we're going to get rid of all of them, or we're not going to extend Cawley. We're going to stick with what we have otherwise or make new additions. So they obviously feel that Cawley does have an integral part in the future here. I would imagine, you know, in a current situation, still as a kind of a bench player, a squad member, I don't think I would see him as being as a regular starter at this point. I mean, we have obviously the situation where McCormack, assuming he's here, will be, you would imagine, the number one strike, and then it's whoever else is going to be around him, whether we sign someone, Jordan Rhodes maybe, Mike, or maybe we keep Matt Smith, of course, and we have still Adam Taggett, of course, around. So I think
it's
good for Cawley that they've got faith to extend him. But, you know, Cawley still has it all to do as well. He needs to develop and prove himself, and he needs to be hitting the net a bit more because his chance conversion ratio hasn't really been good enough. Especially when you're in a struggling team, unfortunately, as we were last year when we were, you know, desperate, really. You know, if we were creating hundreds of chances, yeah, you can miss a few, I guess. But when you're not creating enough chances overall, you need to be putting in the net. So, good for Cawley, but he needs to develop a bit more, in my opinion.
Okay, so you want to see more of a progression from Cawley. But you're not against David, it sounds like, his signing.
No, not at all. I think, you know, we need to, any of the younger players, the younger squad players, we need to, if we think that they're going to be good enough, we need to show our faith in them and keep them. And after all, you know, it's not just us. You know, he's been picked for the under-21s, England under-21s. So other people obviously think that he has something about him as well. So, yeah, it's good for Cawley, and it's hopefully good for Fulham as well.
Well, let's hope so. And, you know, I have high hopes for Colin Woodrow. You know, I have since first watching him, I believe, in the Dallas Cup a few years ago, and hopefully he will progress as a player. Mike, I want to get your thoughts again. You are someone that watches the youth teams a great deal. You've seen his progression. What are your thoughts about the new contract for Colin Woodrow?
Well, hopefully it's the first of a number of the youngsters whose contracts are up, certainly next summer, with extensions. But I think the most important thing for me was the length of the contract, you know, 2018 plus an option for the club, which shows that, one, the club have faith in how he's going to progress, but also, and I think people have missed this point because there's lots of negativity about, oh, no one wants to sign for the club, everyone wants to leave, and you know, it's all downhill. But here's a young player, 20 years old, played, 30 games last year. He's being picked for the England under-21s. Okay, never made the squad for the championships. But as David said, you know, Southgate rates him. So he's in the top, you know, you could argue he's in the top four or five strikers in that age group from an England point of view. And he's willing to sign a contract for potentially another 4 years. So to me, that says there's a young player who has faith in what's going on at the club and wants to commit long term, because it would have been quite easy for him to turn around and be a bit of a, you know, big boots and say, oh, you know, just give me another 2 years and I'll see where we are and I can move on or whatever. And he said, no, you know, I'll take it. And also the club are clearly investing wage-wise in these youngsters. So they, you know, they bring them up to a level where they're not going to be easily turned to go and join, you know, Premier League side. But, yeah, I'm pleased with Woodrow. He does have a lot to work on, especially his finishing, but, you know, it will come. And I hope we don't loan him out. I want him to be in the 18 every week, would be that starting, be that as a sub to come on. And, yeah, high hopes for him. And I would expect him this coming year to get around about the 10 mark, 10, you know, hopefully early teens goal-wise. But, yeah, really pleased with it. And let's bring on Heidman, let's bring on Dembele, get them signed up as well. And, you know, that whole age group, Christensen, Byrne, they've all grown up together at Fulham and they all love the club and we need to keep that core together.
I couldn't agree with you more there, Mike, and we're definitely going to be talking about some of those young players that I think need to be re-signed. We'll talk about which one needs to be signed first. You know, we'll be talking about that in the Cutter's Talk Controversy Roundtable, but very good take there regarding Carl Woodrow. Looks like our other co-host is on the line. He was having problems with Skype, but he joined us via a landline. Emilio, how you doing, my friend?
Yeah, a little bit frustrated, Russ. You know, nice to be on the show, but you know, for 20 minutes, it's not able to connect my Skype. The actual Skype option wasn't available, so I've gone down the conventional route and go by the landline. And then I got very confused. I didn't expect Mike to be on the line. Think, oh, hold on a minute, something's not quite right here. So it's nice to be back. Hopefully, you can hear me well, and hopefully, I can participate in the next hour or so. So apologies for the delay connecting today.
Not a problem, Emilio. Mike actually became available at the last minute, so why not have him join us? So, Mike, that's the reason why Mike's on. It was a last-minute ad, and thankfully Mike could come on and talk about what's going on with Fulham. So that's the reason why Mike has joined us at the last minute, but it's a very good thing, along with getting you back on. And, again, we just were talking about Colley Woodrow. So, again, I want to get your thoughts about him re-signing with Fulham.
I think Mike, and in previous shows, Mike has raised on various occasions the same issue I raised, and I think David as well, that Colley doesn't score enough goals. You know, he has energy, a little bit of flair, tries hard, works hard. I think it's the right thing that we've secured him for another two seasons to the end of, well, to June 2018. You know, I think, will he be a starting 11 player? I'm not too sure. Unless he starts scoring consistently, hitting the target more often, being more clinical in front of goal, I'm not sure he'll ever be that player. You know, he's got into the under-21 reckoning. Obviously, there's stronger players ahead of him. But I think it's a positive we've retained him because he's the sort of type of player that we need to keep, develop. You know, this is where sustainability is. I think the whole Mike Riggs situation is we need to get 18 to 24-year-old players predominantly, you know, being the main structure of the squad with some experienced players around them. And he is hopefully part of the future, but I'm sitting on the fence in this one here. Good that we've retained him. Good that we've got the opportunity to nurture him, develop him, and potentially make him a stronger all-round player. But there's still these lingering doubts from my mind that he's been given opportunities in the last season or so. Not necessarily taken them. He sort of starts off with a bang, couple good opportunities, might score a goal here and there, but he's not clinical enough for me. And if you're going to be a centre forward, you've got to score goals. So sitting on the fence, good for the long term, good for the future. He's young. There's still room for improvement, but goals or lack of goals is a problem for me. And that's, you know, if you don't score goals, you don't win games. So positive, but there's a few negatives there as well. Unless we start seeing him develop next year. Next season is key for him. Next season is crunch time. If he doesn't start scoring the back of the net more consistently, then, you know, his days could be numbered at the club.
Listen, excellent take there. You know, we've been talking a good amount about Colley before you came on, and the guys were talking about his progression. I mentioned his progression. It's all about his progression. Can he take it to the next level? Mm-hmm. Can he be a consistent goal scorer? And that's what we need from him. So this is a crucial year. Very good point by you, Amelia. All right, guys, let's move on real quickly. I want to talk about the subject. I don't want to spend too much time because I definitely want to get into transfer speculation. David, I'll start with you. Former Brentford manager Mark Warburton denied the report from the Daily Record in Scotland this week that he had interest from Fulham. Here is the quote from him from an article that was on Get West London. Quote, this is from Warburton. I find these reports disrespectful. There's no truth in them whatsoever. Kit Simons has done a fantastic job at Fulham, and I'm disappointed to see these allegations. I've not spoken to Fulham at all. David, what do you make of all this?
Well, I'm kind of glad that he's not coming to Fulham then, if he thinks Kit's done a fantastic job. Maybe he's not the right man for us after all. But that's a joke, by the way, anyone who thinks that we're having a Kit bashing session. But in all seriousness, I thought it was a load of rubbish as well, because, you know, we've had effectively, you know, a very public vote of confidence for Kit. And I know these things sometimes
right.
can mean something else, but we've had a very public vote for confidence for Kit from the meeting of the Three Stooges the other week. You know, Mike Grigg has said that, you know, and they've said publicly they're keeping Kit, you know, they put their faith in him. So why would they then change it after that? So I think it was a load of rubbish. I mean, maybe there was some early interest, but certainly not in the recent time. So, yeah, complete rubbish.
Yeah, listen, I completely agree with you. I actually have a source with the club that basically said exactly, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, what you said. This was an old story, you know, that for some reason kept going on, and was described as a typical flyer story. And, you know, this is what happens this time of the year. But like you said, David, they had already talked about this in the video, and the reporter up in Scotland, all he had to do was to actually watch the video from Fulham FC. He would know that Fulham really weren't interested, you know, because, again, he had that huge vote of confidence in that video, and there was no evidence that Fulham were looking to make a change. Emilio, I want to go to you because, again, we deal with these types of stories all the time. I found this one really strange because, again, we had already seen the evidence that Kit was going to be around. Did you find this story strange?
Strange, and, you know, the timing of it. Again, if this was reported a month or so ago, then there could be a sense of truth in it. But it's, you know, you've got a non-English newspaper reporting on an English club. They don't want to actually part of England. What right do they have to start commenting about what's going on with the English game when they actually want to decouple and become independent from the UK? So that's a political discussion. But I think it is nonsense. I don't think there's obviously no truth in it. They've obviously got nothing else to talk about. All the players are on holiday now. Managers are on holiday, enjoying themselves. They've obviously got to fill the newspaper with so-called gossip and, you know, speculation. But to be honest, there's no truth in that. And there may have been something there a couple of months ago, but, you know, it goes back to the question, would we want Mark Warburton at the club even if there wasn't a vote of confidence for Kit?
Sure.
It made me was Mark Warburton ever the right man to take the club further? I mean, I'm still undecided on that. Even if Kit failed first few games, he lost his job, would we think Mark Warburton could do a job for Fulham Football Club? He may do a slightly more efficient job than Kit, but I'm still not convinced he's the long-term manager for Fulham Football Club, whether Kit succeeds or not. So it's a load of nonsense, and the Scottish newspapers should focus on what's going on in their own country rather than focusing on what's going on down south.
So, I love that take. Very interesting take there. Very interesting take there, Emilio. Mike, I want to get your thoughts on this because, again, what I found interesting about this, forget about the story, were the quotes from Warburton because, again, I thought it was nice that he was so outspoken about it. I'm curious your thoughts about the article and what Warburton had to say.
Well, the article was in the Scottish paper because he's been linked with the Rangers job. And my initial reaction was a Scottish journalist has dug it up or an agent somewhere has done this so that it looks as if there's competition for his signature, you know, which ups the wages. It's a game, isn't it? We've seen it time and time again. As for what he said, I take a lot of quotes that managers or you know, people say, I wasn't approached and this kind of stuff, and then it comes out that they have. He's on the market for a job. He said that, you know, he's willing to listen to offers, and you know, the Scottish paper just recycled the gossip or the story that he was linked with us and that we'd spoken to him. And, you know, my understanding is there was an approach to talk to him, and whether that's gone, went any further or not, I have no idea. But, you know, he'd certainly be there or thereabouts if we did make a change. Although my card's on the table, I wouldn't take him as manager because I'm not totally convinced by him. But, yeah, that's all it was, really. He's linked with a Rangers job, and the Scottish paper needed to fill some space, I reckon.
I totally agree with that. You know, I just think that the timing by this reporter was just a little off because, again, there was some talk about this, I would say about a month ago, but again, you know, timing of this was just off, and he went with it, and that's fine. But again, it was a story that basically, you know, what I thought, I didn't give it much thought, except that I thought we should at least talk about it because of how strongly Warburton came back with this. I found those comments interesting and nice for Kit. I thought it was nice that he did that. You know, whether you like Kit or not, I thought that was pretty cool that another manager stood up for him. I thought that was nice. That was just my thoughts on it. All right, guys, let's now go into transfer speculation. But what we're going to do things a little bit differently because I do want to spend more time in the Cottage Talk Controversy Roundtable with some speculation. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go back and forth on each topic, and then with each one of you, you know, again, we're just going to go back and forth. And then that way we can move along this a little bit quicker and then get to the College Talk Controversy Roundtable. So each subject, I'll just have one person discuss it. And, Melio, I'm going to start with you because I found this transfer speculation interesting because I think Fulham definitely need some center backs, defenders in general. But, again, according to Here is the City, on Monday, Fulham had a bid of £2.5 million rejected by Brighton and Hove Albion for this 23-year-old defender, Lewis Dunk. Now, we talked about him in the former show, in the last show. What are your thoughts on this speculation here?
I think there's definitely legs in this speculation. I think there is truth in that. I think, sometimes you read, Here is the City, you know, new website is actually really like a financial investment banking sort of website. It's got a link to that, and it seems an odd link, in my opinion, as to why the City News has claimed there's truth in his speculation. But I think there is some truth in it. I think he did play well for us against us last season. But it's interesting to see that we're targeting the right type of players: youth, early mid twenties, English players. You know, you can see a different philosophy coming into the club here. I think that's what I'm taking an interest in some of the speculation because They're speculating around the right type of players that Mike Wigg is looking to attract. So less on the foreign side of things, proven players at this level, youngsters, English background, etc. So these are the players that we can, with a good youth setup at our club, and with good trainers, etc. behind the scenes, these players can continue to develop. We've got good facilities at the club. You know, you can see Wigg's philosophy starting to sort of shine and starting to shape up, and a good player. I think he's a type of player. We do need some central defensive capability there. I think we've got too many sort of average players in central defence. He'd be a good fit, you know, good height, good in the air. I think he can score a few goals as well, and you know, he accomplished himself quite well against us last season. So I don't know much other than that. So obviously, you haven't seen many of Brighton's games last season other than against ourselves, but you know, I think the speculation, if it does come to fruition, would be a good signing. But again, looking back, what is Mike Wigg trying to do here? And it ticks all those boxes in terms of what I've said: young, promising, British. You know, there won't be any language barrier issues between players, goalkeepers, midfielders, etc. You know, accomplished at this level. That ticks a lot of the boxes, and there's upside this play rather than downside. And I think that's what's key. And all these players that we've been linked with all seem to have a similar theme here, all around that youth, British, defence in particular. That's where we're obviously targeting first. And it's, you know, if we do manage to secure his signing, I think it's good for Fulham Football Club. But I think there's definitely legs in that. And Brighton will come to a point where Brighton, it might be an offer that's too good for them to refuse. And they'll have to just accept and move on, and I think that will be for the benefit of Fulham Football Club. But now that the fixture list, I think they're due to be published next week, that's when it starts to become reality that pre-season kicks in about 3 weeks' time. We want to have had at least two or three signings ready for that pre-season to start, and with the fixture list only around the corner and the season, what, 6-7 weeks away, if that, you know, we want to start actually training with these players rather than waiting to the last minute, which is what we traditionally tend to do. So yeah, I'm buoyed by this signing. I think, you know, but $2.5 million potentially a bit expensive, but if you want British players at that age, I think you have to pay for it, and Mike will be the first to probably acknowledge that as well.
Listen, I am liking, you know, again, this is speculation, let's call it what it is, but I think that there's something to this, and there is a theme. I'm glad that you mentioned that, and you really detailed the theme here. Defender, English, young, you know, again, this is if this is the type of player that Mike Rigg is trying to get, I'm all for this. And, I you know, again, I approve of this link. If there's truth to this, if this does come to fruition, this is the type of player that I want them to go after. And, Mike, I'm going to go to you because, again, we have another player similar to this that I want to ask you about, because according to the Daily Mail, on Monday, Fulham had a bid of $1.2 million. Pounds rejected by Sheffield Wednesday for 24-year-old defender Tom Lees. Similar, you know, similar age, similar situation. What are your thoughts about this speculation?
Well, I agree that, you know, again, this player fits that 23 to 27 age range, championship experience, and, you know, there's so many of these players that we're being linked with. It's clear that's the target, and that completely makes sense. And when you look at the players who have been released and the balance of the squad, there's a massive gap in that age group. So definitely the players we should be going for. Tom Lees, he's played a lot of games. He's a very good defender. I think if that bid is correct, we will need to certainly at least double it. I think he was a target for Premier League in the winter, so he's highly rated. And yeah, I mean, it's, with all of these, putting the bid low, but we're going to need to get a bit realistic. But, you know, Championship players have their price. Centre backs, you're probably, for the quality ones, you're going to have to pay $3 or $4 million, and we need to be looking at that. But again, it all comes down to budget, doesn't it? You know, if you're the number of players we have to bring in does make you think, you know, where's that, you know, how much are we going to have to spend to bring that quality? But I'm happy that we're looking at these players, and if we're making these bids, then that's great as well. But I was given the name of a player from abroad who we could be potentially after. So I don't think we're just focusing just on the Championship. If that's going to start worrying people, so
well, can you share that name with us,
Mike? Good player. I'm not going to share it with you, but it's Spanish.
Okay, Mike is not sharing the name, but would this be someone that you would be happy if we signed?
Yes, I would be. Yeah, but
okay.
I'm sure there's a long list, Russ, and the way Rigg works, I suspect he has target 1 to 10, and he will work his way down that list, hopefully not too far, until he gets the right man, and for each position. And it's clear centre-back is... We're getting linked to too many centre-backs to, you know, for it not to be true, but that's what we're looking for. So hopefully we're going to pick one up sooner or later, because I totally agree with Emilio that... we don't want to leave it to the end of August for, you know, we'll be 3 or 4 games in. We really want the business done early, and like everyone does. But they have to be the right players again. You know, we don't want to panic. So, you know, we get into next week and the fans get a bit panicky about, oh, who are we signing, who are we missing out on? You don't want the club to do that. So pretty sure they're going to be more measured about things, but they do need to start bringing them in sooner rather than later.
Listen, Mike, I totally agree with you, but I don't think it's an accident that we're hearing all these names of center backs that are linked with Fulham. I think that's by design, meaning that I think that there's something to that. And I'm glad. You know, again, certain age, they're all around the certain age. So, again, Mike Rigg obviously has a list. He's going to go through it, and he's going to try to get one, maybe possibly two. I don't know. But there are targets out there, and I think we're learning about them, which is, again, interesting. And for me, it's encouraging because I want them to be targeting players like this. At this stage of Fulham's development, they need that age range, Mike, that we've been talking about. We talked about it on the last show. We need players between the age of, like, say, 22 to 27, and these players fit that bill. So I totally, you know, again, I'm for them bringing in players like this. All right, David, over to you. This is going to go to the other end of the spectrum. According to Heroes of City, on Wednesday, Fulham are set to launch a bid for 32-year-old striker Daryl Murphy from Ipswich Town. What are your thoughts on this speculation, David? And honestly, Daryl Murphy played very well against Fulham, so I'm curious your thoughts.
Well, this is where I can sort of trash your wonderful structure, because I have a list of people that we're apparently signing or interested in, and only one of them is on that list that you've mentioned, which is the Dunk one. And actually, I sent Mike the name of the Spanish centre-back that we're signing, so if Mike doesn't want to name him, I can probably name him, because I sent it to Mike. But anyway, unless it's a different one, of course. But I'll answer the question that you've asked me first, and if you want to talk about any of these others afterwards, we can go through that. Obviously, Murphy is an obvious one. He's got a great pedigree, I think, in the Championship, and especially against Fulham. Sometimes it can be a bit of a knee-jerk reaction if you sign people who are good against you, because it doesn't always work the other way around. But certainly he's had a great season, I think. The big number one concern, obviously, the alarm bells, is the age. You know, 32 is not really the sort of age of players you want to be signing. Very, very short-termist. I'm sure he could do a job. He obviously knows where the goal is, but not sure whether, you know, there's any truth in that, whether he would actually want to move. He's had a great season, he's done well at Ipswich, but, you know, a reasonable player nonetheless, most certainly.
Yes, absolutely, David. And, you know, I want them to target players a certain age, but there are exceptions to the rule, and this is a player that I wouldn't be against them bringing in. But, again, it's just speculation, and we'll see if there's anything to that. All right, Emilio, I'm going to go back to you. I found this one interesting. Again, now with Gabor Kilroy obviously being released, this kind of makes sense. According to Bolton News on Thursday, Fulham could be close to signing ex-Bolton goalkeeper Andy Larnigan, who's 31 years old. What are your thoughts about this?
I think, obviously, it's obvious to say that, obviously, we do need a deputy keeper, a capable deputy keeper. Obviously, Bolton have just released and sold their main keeper to Liverpool earlier in the week. I think that's still subject to some agreement in principle in terms of what the signing fee was going to be. But, you know, he's the right age. He's still got, what, another eight years potentially up his sleeve. I think he's played a number of games in the Championship for Bolton, so he's got good experience at this level. You know, he's probably, realistically, that's the type of player, second goalkeeper that we're going to retain. I don't think we can really achieve anyone with more experience or better quality than him. Otherwise, it keeps Marcus Bettinelli, you know, on his toes. And ultimately, Marcus needs to start game in, game out next season. But we need a strong deputy, someone who's capable to come in, whether he gets sent off like he did last season, or, you know, his form dips, or whether he just has an injury. So, you know, with Karari in pyjamas last year, we didn't have a suitable backup. He would be a strong backup. You'd probably get him on the cheap. Capable, you know, not, you know, dependable. I think that's all we can ask for. I think if you're going to have someone like Stecklenburg as your number two, or possibly as your number one, then you're going to have two goalkeepers, both very hungry for success, both very capable. And I'm not sure if that's the right structure. I think we, from where we're at, we've got to stick with Marcus Bettinelli, ensure that we give him the love that he needs, you know, push away any speculation that we, you know, that he will be sold to another club, possibly a club down the road from where we are. And I think he'd be the right type of fit for Fulham Football Club. Good, again, it's all about experience. He's 31. Like I said, he's still got another 7-8 years of capability there as a goalkeeper. So not our most important position in the club, but nonetheless, we still need somebody who's capable to come in and fill Marcus Bettinelli's boots if, for whatever reason, he's not playing. It potentially could be an interesting signing, but, you know, there might be other goalkeepers out there. But, yeah, wouldn't be adverse to him, but we need to, I think that's something we do need to focus, but not top priority in defence and midfield are my priority at the moment. But you know, I think the fact that he's available is not a bad thing. 31, experience, not much more we can ask for, to be honest, and probably on the cheap.
Listen, I totally agree with you. I'm not against it because they do need an experienced backup. And, again, he has a good amount of experience. I wouldn't be against it, but it's not a priority. But again, this speculation is out there, so definitely wanted to mention it. And, David, I'm going to give you the last piece of transfer speculation because you mentioned the typo that I had on my agenda. So I thought I would give you a little bonus speculation. And this is actually coming from Football League World. The title is Bristol City Chase Deal for Ex-Leeds United Striker. FLW, Football League World, understands Steve Cottrell is keen on adding more strike power to the squad this summer and has earmarked Matt Smith as the man to do just that. David, what are your thoughts on this speculation?
Well, that's completely understandable, isn't it? I mean, Matt Smith was a real hero for Bristol City this year.
Yes.
And he's gone there, he's banged goals in, helped them get to Wembley, obviously helped in their kind of promotion push as well. I'm sure they were desperate to keep him, really, because they kept him as long as they could. So, massively, it would be their number one target. If they think they can prize him away from Fulham, I'm sure they'd be very happy to get him in because, he's proven what he can do for them. He's obviously fitted in well with what they've got there. Whether there's any truth in it, we don't know, but it's an obvious connection to make. So, and I'd be disappointed if he goes, obviously. I know Matt Smith in South Carolina would be very disappointed if he goes as well. But, we saw he could do a job. And, yes, the debate is, I think starting-wise with McCormack, he's done a good job. But it does offer that big question about where's your plan B. As a plan B, most certainly is a more dramatic change. There's no other dramatic plan B that we have at the moment, really, if he starts. But as a bench player, he offers most certainly a dramatic plan B. I'll be very, very disappointed if he does go, but I could understand there is truth in this, most certainly.
Okay, very, very interesting take there. And listen, it does make sense, again, because he did well for them, that they'd be interested, and we'll have to see what turns out here. I personally would like Matt Smith to stay. I think he would be a good plan B, David, not a plan A. That's just my thoughts on that. But, again, we'll have to see what happens with this speculation. Again, this is just speculation. All right, guys, let's now go into the Cottage Talk Controversy Roundtable, and I'm going to start with Mr. Mike Gregg on this. Again, very interesting stuff to go through. I did ask the Fulham supporters their thoughts on these three topics, and we're going to start here. And before I mention, I just want to say I did watch Jazz Richards play last night. I thought he played very well, and I'll just leave it at that. It's one match, one international match. I've also seen Brian Ruiz play very well as well in an international match, but I want to give credit to Jazz Richards because he really did a nice job last night against a very tough Belgium side. So let's just start there. And, Mike, I'm going to start with you because reportedly from the Daily Mail, Fulham have agreed on a £500,000 fee for Swansea City defender Jazz Richards. If this speculation becomes true and Fulham end up signing Richards, would you approve or disapprove of this?
Well, if it was my choice, I wouldn't sign him, quite frankly. I mean, he had almost a 14 game trial with us, and we've spoken about his attributes on previous shows. Is he better than Grimmer at doing this? Can he play left back? Is he just there because Kit knows him from the Welsh team? It does look as if he's going to be joining us. So, in the end, fair play to him. And yes, he played well last night, apparently. But a lot of revisionist sort of views on him all of a sudden, what a great player he is. They weren't saying that a lot of games last season. So he's what he is, isn't he? He's done, he's playing at that level. He had a good game last night. Is he going to be useful for us? I'm sure he is. Do I see us getting promotion with him being our main right back? I struggle to see that, he flatters to deceive. I don't think he's a great defender, and I don't think he's great getting forward either. So £500,000, I'd probably rather pay the dollar figure for him, but Kit knows him. He's going to trust him, and you know, he's going to wear the white shirt. So I support him doing that. But personally, no, I would not sign him. I would look for someone else. As I said before, I'd look for someone a bit older to teach. You know, teach Jack. You know, pass down some experience to him. Instead, we have two relatively inexperienced players in that position now.
Okay. Interesting take there. Emilio, over to you. I have a feeling you and I have talked that you feel a little bit differently about this, so please share your thoughts on the situation with Jazz Richards.
Yeah, we had a long debate about this in the middle of the week, and you know, I'm the first to put my hand up saying he was very unspectacular last season, those 14 games he played for us. Didn't venture forward as much as he could have done or as confident he could have done. But although I did, I better be careful how I word this. I'm not saying I'm actually 100% in favour of him signing, but I thought the reaction I saw in the middle of the week was a massive overreaction from the fans. I don't, you know, he's not as bad as people are claiming him to. Could we do better? Certainly. But for £500,000, a 24-year-old international defender, who at the time, when we had the conversation on Wednesday, I wasn't aware he was going to play for Wales yesterday, so he then played for Wales last night, kept the clean sheet. He was not our worst defender in the second half of last season. Was safe-ish compared to the other defenders that we've had. At the end of the day, his job is to defend. And if he's got the capability to attack as well, then that will be another string to his bow. But that's why we'd only potentially pay £500,000 for him. But I would potentially look to sign him only because it will guarantee safety first, which is what Mike Rigg has got to do. We've got to stop leaking goals. You know, 160, 180 goals in two seasons is absolutely appalling. You know, he wasn't our worst defender last season. You know, most mistakes came from other defenders. If we actually weighed them all up, I'd actually want Mike to do a bit of analysis there. Maybe we can both do actually work out where did most of the goals that we conceded, who was potentially at fault for those. But I think he was less at fault than some of the other defenders who are more experienced at this level. But for defending, we need safety first. We need to be tighter in defence. And if we can concede less goals, then we've got more chance of winning games. The problem last season, every time we concede three, we then have to score four to win. So he was tight, he was safe, not spectacular, not always pretty, but not our worst defender. And I think for £500,000 for a 24-year-old international defender, we could be doing a lot worse. Yes, we could do better, but I think we could do a lot worse. And I'm going to actually be in that minority to say fans overreacted midweek, and if they felt that was the way forward for the football club. It ticks Mike Riggs' boxes again, like we said earlier. British, early to mid-20s. You know, it's another Mike Rigg type of safe signing, shall we say, just to keep us steady for the next two or three seasons as we start to build and move forward into the next regime. But you need that. You need safety first at the moment. Rather than trying to score five and concede four, I think we're going to try to sort of not concede and win 1-0, 2-0, not always pretty. But we've got to stop conceding goals. And maybe he's an opportunity just to keep it a little bit tighter at the back. And like I said, not pushing forward means he's going to focus on defensive ability first rather than trying to keep himself out of position and attacking too often and then keeping himself exposed at the back. But we look back his record last season, he wasn't our worst defender, hence I'm more leaning towards just signing for £500,000. He's not going to break the bank, and let's see what happens. He could be back up for Grimmer or he could be first choice. That gives us options, which is good.
Okay, very interesting take. And David, before I go to you, I want to go back to Mike because, Mike, I want to get your thoughts on what Emilio just said and also want to throw this onto this discussion because, again, I've gone back and forth with Jazz Richards. I think that, again, similar to what Emilio said, he's a safe player. You know, again, he's not spectacular. He doesn't, you know, again, what I've seen, he really hasn't gone forward that much. He actually did a little bit last night, but again, the fact that he doesn't go forward, I think that is an issue here with some fans. I don't know if that's an issue with you, but I want to get your thoughts on what Emilio had to say. And also, you know, also just in general, him being kind of a safe defensive player compared to someone that might be more offensive going forward.
Well, I mean, he's not a gamble, is he? We gambled
right
with Hoogland, and that didn't work. And
right,
he's safe. Yeah, I mean, he's a safety option, cheap option, you could argue also. I've always said, you know, everyone knows I'm a Grimmer fan and I don't want him being blocked. But I don't see Richards as a massive step up from him. And
okay.
But going back to all the players who have been released, because Pasley's been released as well, and the other guys, you know, we are short of right back. So if he comes in, he's an option, and hopefully he will do better than what I saw in those games that I did. I mean, I thought he was atrocious at Watford. You know, should have got sent off, and you know, if I ever see him play at left back again, I'll probably cry. but you know, he's an unspectacular, solid signing. They can't all be multi-million-pound ones. I know that, but I'm just disappointed that we saw him for 14 games and it wasn't spectacular, and he wasn't. There's nothing there that said yes, buy him. He's going to be that person to help us get promotion, and that's where my issue is.
Okay, fair enough. Very interesting take by the two of you. I want to bring David into the conversation. David, what are your thoughts about what your two co-hosts had to say about Jazz Richardson? Overly, you know, obviously, let's start with what you think about the situation.
I think we've covered basically both sides of it because, you know, if you say
where do you stand, David?
We can sign a. An international fullback for $500,000, you'd be 24 years old, you'd be biting their hands off. Obviously, when you say it's Jazz Richards, you'd be thinking, oh, well, maybe not. But, you know, on the face of it, business-wise, it's a great deal. And so perhaps, you know, it's about who he plays with may help. You know, he's played maybe with better defenders last night, and it's helped his game. Whereas at Fulham, obviously, he was part of a poor defence, which dragged him down. But as Mike said and things, we didn't see anything from him that kind of excited us last year. Yes, he's in the team as a defender, but in the modern day, you need defenders who can get forward and offer a dimension to the attack as well. And for someone who is apparently, you know, quite pacey, we saw no runs up the wings at all, really, from him. So it was a bit worrying. Yes, I accept it's the counter of the sort of the Hoogland argument that he was always up the wing and never defending. So, you know, you have to take a balance on everything. But so, you know, it's difficult to say that he didn't, for me, seem to be an upgrade on what we had. But obviously, it may depend on who else we sign. If he comes, of course, I have actually seen people saying this morning, because of his performance yesterday, other clubs are interested in him. And I don't know how much truth that is in that. There were people triumphantly on Twitter saying, oh, you know, we might not have to sign him after all. So it's all, until it's actually on the dotted line in black and white, we don't know. But, you know, who else is going to say it's a bad deal if you say there's a 24-year-old international fullback for $500,000? You can't get past those facts, can you, really? It's a great bit of business.
I agree with that, David. And listen, I know that you have to drop off, so please feel free to do that and then come back in. And in the meantime, I'm actually going to read some of the comments from the Fulham supporters because, again, pretty interesting stuff from the Fulham supporters on the Facebook page, and we can talk about that then move on to the next topic. But I'm going to start here. Again, Ben Reed, he says, approve. Despite what all the co-hosts seem to think, he wasn't that bad a signing when we had him last season. He's a useful squad addition, as he is versatile enough to play on both the left and the right. I'm not certain he will be the first choice, but will certainly provide some competition to young Jack Grimmer for the right back slot. I would suggest this is a decent signing. Roger Lewis says, at the price, not a bad backup, but should never start. So Roger's going with a backup thought. Giannis chimed in, I wouldn't spend 5p on him unless have to better fullbacks out there who can back up Jack Grimmer for half the price. So Giannis is against it. Marty Ward says, I'd rather spend 20p on Fredo than have him. Gareth Brooks says, 500k, wow. They want to spend that much. Grimmer at least the same level, if not a step ahead. What must Grimmer be thinking? Very interesting take there, Sean Collins. It's about all kick can attract. So Sean's saying that's the type of player he can attract. Alex Lowy, I don't think it's terrible, but I'm not a huge fan of Richard's work. The biggest saving grace is that he has age on his side, but not a hugely encouraging signing. However, I think Fulham need to remember that we're in the championship and we're not exactly to be signing Philip Lahm or Danny Alves anytime soon. Very interesting take by Alex. I totally agree with where he's going on that. And I'll just share one more. Ian Walworth says, don't think he did enough to get signed. Grimmer is better, I feel. All right, Michael, I want to get your thoughts on what the Foam supporters had to say about our discussion.
Yes, what I said at the beginning, a lot of revisionist views of him because of one performance last night. There's the old thing about don't buy players off the back of World Cups and European Championships. Okay, that wasn't last night, but it was one international game, and everyone's going mental about him last night and this morning when we'd already seen him for a dozen games. I don't want to labour the point. I just don't think he's that better than what we've got. But, he's a solid player, but nothing more than that. But it just shows you he's going to be one of those players that's going to split us all. And that's football. We'll have different opinions, like some players don't like others. And that's never going to change.
Yeah, listen, I agree with you there, Mike. I find it interesting because, again, that's what makes this fun. That's why I'm glad that we can do this show. We have different opinions, and I think we're pretty split on this. And, Emilio, I want to get your thoughts because I find it interesting that Jazz Rich is basically really – it really is a split opinion here.
Yes, he is. And, don't misquote me here in this, obviously. It's all recorded, obviously. Well, I think I'm not necessarily his biggest fan. I was always quite disappointed that he didn't necessarily attack and offer more offensive capability last season. But we're now going to an era where we're sort of mopping up some of these former Premiership players. We're releasing one or two. We're reducing our wage bill. We're going into a new five-year regime now where we've got to start from the beginning, work back the way up. To do that, you're not going to start buying your international Spanish 32-year-olds coming with high wages, with international background experience. We've got to start from basics again, and Riggs there to come in and balance the books, get the right players, age on their side, British where possible. From that perspective, from a financial perspective, it ticks the boxes and it makes sense. I'm not necessarily Jazz Rich's biggest fan. I never claimed that, but... He will give Jack Grimmer or potentially be will be in the starting 11. But we'll just push the squad to the max. What we need is no person feeling complacent in their position. And we could do a lot worse. We could do better, but we could do a lot worse. But Mike reinforces all the analysis he does that we haven't got millions to spend, so we've got to be quite cagey in what we spend, who we spend it with, but also do a job. And the job here is Jazz Richards will not be spectacular. But you won't be conceding 80, 90 goals in defence if we have him playing week in, week out with maybe more capable central defenders alongside him. So my point is we've got to start from the beginning. We've got to work the next 3 to 5 years. And if you're going to want, like I said, it's ex-Spanish international players coming in with high wages, then that's the past. The future is going to be a lot different. And fans just have to be a lot patient. And we may have to end up seeing players who we don't necessarily feel a love towards. But if they're doing a job for me, I'm happy with that. It might not be pretty at times, but we've got to steady the ship, build for the future, and if we're getting a 24-year-old international for £500,000, like who said it, I think Dave said it, you'd bite your hand off to do that. So
right.
Could do a lot worse, but we could also do a lot better as well. But at the end of the day, £500,000 for a 24-year-old international defender, I think would not be a bad signing. That's where I'm coming from here.
No, listen, I hear you. Again, you're looking for someone that's steady, someone that's safe, and I understand that. And Mike even mentioned that as well. Again, when you compare to, say, Hoogland, like you were saying, David, I'm going to go to you right now. Everyone liked Hoogland for the ability that he had going forward. But again, defending, he wasn't the greatest. So, I find the commentary from the Foam supporters and you guys very interesting because it is very split. But, David, I want to get your thoughts about what the Foam supporters had to say because many of them actually pointed out what you pointed out.
Well, no, I mean, they've kind of summed up most of the criticisms about him. And, you could argue that he's not the right man at all for us, that, he had a chance to show what he could do. And surely, we saw more excitement in the couple of games from James' husband than we did from him, you could argue. At least he defended and he showed a little bit of spark going forward. And out of the two, I would sign James' husband. I know one is a left-back, one's a right-back predominantly, so it's not, like for like exactly. But No, I completely agree with what the fans are saying, and I wouldn't really be signing him. But as I said before, when you look at the basic facts, it sounds like a great deal if it's $500,000 for that. So, difficult to say. But I think my concern would more be with the fact that he wouldn't, necessarily be judged on the ability that we've perceived, because there's this kind of thing around that he's a bit of a teacher's pet, Kit's favourite, and he's going to get in the team regardless. It seemed to be the case a little bit last time that he got straight into the team regardless, and people like Jack obviously got cast aside. And because of the Welsh connection, that will be the worry that, Kit will have some sort of, subconscious bias towards him, and he'll always get in the team, ahead of other people. And, because Kit, it's hard not to have favourites, I guess. There's always players that managers work with. You see down the years, managers, like Harry Redknapp signed Nico Kranjčar about 15 times, I think, through his career. Sorry, slight use
good
of
point,
hyperbole
David.
There. I apologise for hyperbole, but I mean? You get these scenarios.
It's actually a valid point. That's a great analogy, by the way.
But that would be my concern, that his position in the team. And we're talking a bit, we signed him. As far as I know, and, you can correct me if I'm wrong, or maybe tomorrow or the next day it will change, he's not a Fulham player at this point. So it's pure
Correct. Speculation,
all of this chat.
It's speculation at this point, you're right.
Yeah. Assuming he signs, though, that would be my biggest concern, that he would get in the team perhaps, in a slightly nepotistic way, if that's a word I can use, rather than purely on ability. That would be my biggest concern.
Okay. And I want to go back to you on this, because you brought up a player that I want Fulham to sign, and that's James Husband. And let me ask you this. Do you think the reason why people think differently of James Husband compared to Ashley Richards is that they've seen Husband's ability to go forward but also defend? And it looks like, again, just on the sample size that we've had with Jazz Richards, that he's more just one way, more defensive. Do you think that's the difference between these two players, the way people feel about him?
Well, certainly. I mean, for me, we played in the main last season a very narrow team. When we did play with width, I don't think we really were very accomplished anyway. And when we played, obviously, with the diamond, we were very narrow. And you're absolutely completely reliant on your fullbacks to be getting forward to offer that width. And in Ashley Richards, we saw none of that. We saw more from Jack Grimmer. We certainly saw more from Tim Hoogland. And at left back, in just a couple of games, and it's very, very hard to make sweeping judgments about players from a couple of games, really. But James Husband appeared to be able to defend adequately, more than adequately. But getting forward, he actually showed quite a good turn of pace and dribbling abilities running at defenders. And for me, he was much closer in a couple of games to the sort of complete modern fullback than in any of the others, really. Staff didn't get forward enough for me. Say, Hoogland was too forward. Grimmer was probably, the best balance that we had at right back, not necessarily in terms of overall ability, but in terms of the fact that, he tried to have the right balance between being a defender but getting forward to assist, whereas the others were kind of one or the other. But Husband, most certainly, I would like to see him play more games for Fulham. The only way that's going to really happen, I would imagine, is if we take the plunge and sign him, which will be a slight gamble because, obviously, we don't know that much about him. But, again, he fits the profile. He's young, he's British. And for me, I would imagine you could get him for a reasonable fee and he would be worth a pump.
Okay. Interesting take there, David. Very interesting. Very interesting discussion on a player that, again, there seems to be a split on do you want Jazz Richards or not. And I kind of understand that. He's one of those players that there's definitely differing opinions on him, which is good. All right, guys, let's move on. And Emilio, I'm going to start with you. Reportedly from Football League World, Fulham are closing in on signing former Rotherham United midfielder Ben Pringle, who's 26 years old, and it's reported to be a two-year deal. Again, Mike and I talked about this on the last show about Pringle. I certainly would like this to happen. This is just speculation. So if this speculation becomes true, Emilio, and Fulham end up signing Pringle, would you approve or disapprove of bringing this player to the club?
That's 100% approve from my perspective. I've been I was very encouraged when I saw the speculation. It's been dragging on now for a couple of weeks, so I'm keen for this speculation just to be locked down once and for all. You know, I expect there to be some movement in the transfer market next week. It could be, hopefully Pringle will be that first signing that we're all longing to see come to the club. But you know, he's played admirably against us. He's by far their best player when we played against Rotherham in April a couple of months back. Got pace. Got good vision, you know, looking to make things happen. I don't want to labour the point, but you know, British, you know, early, you know, that mid, what is he, 26, so he fits the Mike Gray criteria again here as well. So we can get him for a reasonable price. You know, he did a very good job. I think he was their best player for Rotherham last season. So I think you myself and Mike had a detailed conversation about him last week, and I share the same sentiments. Great, would be a great signing, but to David's point, it's only speculation until that contract is signed and an official announcement comes from the club. Then it's just purely speculation. I'd like it to be real, but
sure,
you know, still a little bit cautious until, you know, until it's done a done deal. Then it's anything can happen. Then, but I saw there was an interesting debate on Twitter with Rotherham. I think it was a journalist who was basically saying he'd be disappointed if he went to Fulham because he didn't think Fulham was an upgrade or an attractive club compared to Rotherham. So there's a lot of debate and, you know, Fulham fans, you know, sort of saying all sorts of things with this guy, this journalist from Rotherham. So if you actually go back and look through that whole trail of discussions, I think it was on Tuesday, Wednesday of this week, but I think it'll be a good signing. We need someone with that pace, you know, someone with that energy, spark, making things happen, and fits Mike Rees' criteria, and we won't have to pay a fortune for him either. So I think, hopefully, it is a done deal, but it's been dragging on now, a couple of weeks? Still not seeing anything done. So, yeah, just a little bit nervous that if it's taken that long to make the deal happen, is there an issue behind the scenes? Is, you know, are wages an issue? Is the length of the contract an issue? 2 years, maybe the guy wants 3 years. So who knows? It's, you know, at the end of the day, as a player, you have a right to make sure it's what's right for you. Club, contract, wages, set up, et cetera, the formation that we're playing. And there might be other things behind the scene that maybe Ben Pringle is not up to signing immediately. Maybe he's concerned about, I don't know, other factors, which hence the reason why the signing hasn't necessarily been completed yet. So great, so would be a good signing, but slightly apprehensive as to why it's not being completed now, if there's that much speculation and depth to that rumor.
Listen, I'm glad that you mentioned this because nothing's a done deal. This is all speculation. Jazz Richards speculation. Ben Pringle speculation. There's a good amount of chatter. I was contacted by someone that told me that he had heard that he was off to Ipswich Town. Then I heard he was back on a form. It keeps going back and forth. And then, of course, I saw this this recent article, you know, again a couple of days ago, basically saying that it's now going to be speculation of a 2-year deal. We shall see, but I think it's a player that they should be targeting, and I hope it actually happens. David, before I go to Mike to get his thoughts on it, because I already talked to Mike about this on the last show, what are your thoughts about the speculation with Ben Pringle?
Well, I think both Mike and myself, we're at the Rotherham game away and at Craven Cottage, obviously, for the return. I think, and from my point of view, I Pringle was a standout player for Rotherham on both occasions. I thought he was, you know, a very busy, hard-working player, but not just that, he actually has, you know, a good bit of creativity about him. He seemed to be kind of at the heart of all their moves and things. So I know he's not perhaps a high-profile name as some people would be hoping for, but he certainly seems to be a player with a good footballing brain and a hard-working player. I suppose, I don't know if this is a ridiculous thing, someone in the kind of Lewis Holtby kind of mode. Maybe it's just a blondish hair sort of thing, but that's the sort of guy that he reminded me of a little bit.
Okay.
But of course, he would be a cheap signing in one respect because he's on a free, isn't he? I think his contract's up at Rotherham, so it would be a wages thing. But there's been a lot of people talking about it on Twitter, and you've seen it, and the rumours are, and of course, again, it's only rumours and speculation, is that he has agreed, everything's agreed, done and dusted, it's just we're waiting for the medical to go through. And there has been someone said on Twitter that there was a slight delay with the medical, that they're not sure what the delay is exactly or whether it's a problem or something that can be resolved. But in all intents and purposes, he has agreed to sign. We've agreed terms and everything else. But yeah, I think I'd be very pleased to see him because I liked what I saw. I don't know what Mike thinks to my Lewis Holtby type of analogy, whether I'm just going mad or whether that is a kind of the sort of type of player that he is, really.
Right. But very interesting take there, David, and thank you for that information. And Mike, I want to get your thoughts about this because one of the things about the story that I saw mentioned 2-year deal. I'm curious your thoughts on that and also David's comparison to Lewis Holtby.
Yeah, I won't go too much into him because obviously we spoke a lot about him last week. But a 2-year deal, that sort of makes sense. He's a free transfer, you know, mid-20s. Can he, you know, if he, let's say we get promotion, can he step up that extra level? So we don't want to, probably neither party wants to tie themselves down too long and maybe reassess. We're very good at giving contracts with options, so I suspect that would be part of it as well. I can't remember who it was, but somebody did say that it sort of reminded him of Simon Davis and not Holtby.
I saw
the way
that too.
He plays.
I saw that too, Mike. It's funny you say that. I saw the same thing.
Yeah, and I thought that was quite a good analogy, really. And it probably is more closer than certainly, you know, Holtby obviously has with the blonde hair. But yeah, I see him as more of that hard working wide man who can come inside as well. A busy player, and you know, if he's got half as much skill as Simon had, then we'll all be happy. But yeah, I think all of us are agreed. We need to get it over the line, get it signed, and give something to please the fans, because it's been a bit repetitive over the last few weeks. You know, when are the players being released? When are we signing the first player? And so, yeah, let's just get one done, get it over, and let's move on to the next one. And, you know, I believe he was on holiday last week anyway, so that was one delay. If you looked at his tweets, I think he was sunning himself somewhere. So it's all happened this week. But it's the Fulham way, isn't it? We get linked to a player, we know he's having a medical. You know, maybe 4 months' time we'll see him. You know, it's just the Fulham way. We all get used to it. That's why I don't get too upset about the delays.
Yeah, good stuff there, Mike. You always have a way of putting it, but yes, it is the full way, and we'll have to see how this all plays out. But we're all hearing similar things. I did like the Simon Davis comparison. I always like Simon Davis as a player, and if he's anything like that, that would be a very good signing. I think we're all in agreement that we think it's a good signing, and I'm going to read the comments from the supporters, and looks like they pretty much agree with us. Ben Reed said, approve, decent player, needs to sort out his Barnett, though. Alf Russell said he would be a good signing. Dan Thurgood said, good player at this level, ripped us a new one twice this year. David Allen said, good passer of the ball, good scoring rate, good player. Roger Lewis said, would be happy with him signing. Nickname Paprika so he could spice up our midfield. Okay. Marty Ward says, sounds exciting, and this more like in the way of a quality signing with championship experience. Steve O'Keefe said, approved, went to both games versus Rotherham last year and was their best player. Bob Howard said, his work ethic is exceptional, definitely what we need, good. Okay, Eden Gordon said, I have my fingers crossed. I really like the idea of getting Pringle in. Previous comments says it all. Works hard, passes well, consistent at championship level. He also has a good on-field presence, and the ability to control games, all things we missed last season. Excellent point by Eden. I like that last point to end our discussion about Ben Pringle. Guys, I think we're all in agreement. Let's hope this happens, but again, we don't have anything definitive yet. This is just speculation at this point, but we're all hopeful. All right, guys, we got about 10 minutes left. I want to end the show on the third topic I put on the College Talk Controversy Roundtable. I wanted to throw something out there that I find fascinating because we have all these young players that will be entering the last year of their deal. So I wanted to pose this to you. And, Mike, I'm going to start with you. Let's start with you on this because, again, you follow the young players very closely. If you were Chief Football Officer Mike Rigg, which young player would be the first priority to re-sign among Moussa Dembele, Emerson Hyman, Marcus Bettinelli, and Patrick Roberts? All have one season left on their contracts. Who would you look to sign first, Mike?
And don't forget, Dan Byrne as well only has 1 year left as well.
I'm sorry, we could throw Dan Byrne on the list too if you'd like. Yep.
I wouldn't want to sign. You really want me to give you one?
I want you to give me one.
I'll put them all around the table at the same time and give them a pen each and get them to sign at the same time. I think going forward, you can look at this two ways. Going forward, who's going to have the longest career at Fulham? And I think you could possibly say Bettinelli,
yep.
You know, long-term goalkeeper. Who's going to get you the most money? Roberts. Who's potentially the best player? That's Heidman. So it's probably going to be one of those three. Looking at it from a Mike Riggs point of view, shall we say?
Yeah.
Who's the most important player? I think it's going to be money, and I think it's going to be Roberts. So
interesting pick.
From his point of view, I think he should sign Roberts. From my point of view, I'd go for Heidman. I'll try and give him the longest contract possible.
Very interesting there, Mike. Great analysis of all these players. You didn't mention Moussa Dembele. He would be near the back of the list for you, but would you re-sign Moussa Dembele?
The back of a list of four. No, I'd sign them all. This is the thing. All of them I would look to give extensions to. What you're looking for with those four plus Burn five, Christensen, that's six players. These are the players you should be looking at long-term saying, okay, the aim is to get promotion this year. If we don't, certainly the year after. But you've got to be looking 2 to 3 years. Those six players should be, for me, the core of the team. And you can add George Williams to that as well.
Sure.
Those players, they should
LVC
be
as well.
The absolute core of the team. Yeah. The absolute core of the team.
Listen, I agree with you. That's why I thought it'd be an interesting discussion to end the show with about these players, because we could talk about the players, but I'd be curious, each one of you, which one would you target first? Because there's so many different ways to go about this. And Mike, you showed that there are several different ways you can think about it. So David, I want to get your thoughts. Who would you sign first?
I kind of understand what Mike's saying. Really, depends which way you look at it. From a purely financial point of view, Patrick Roberts is probably the most saleable asset. For long-term view, Emerson Heidman. In terms of immediate need, it's got to be Marcus Bettinelli, because he's the current established first-team player. And if they're planning to keep him as the long-term number one, then they need to get him tied down, obviously. But it's one of those hard questions, really, because at the end of the day, we want to be signing all of those. We want all of those four to stay. So to sort of say, who do you want to sign first? It's difficult, because we don't want to put anyone to the back of the queue either. I'm sure these things don't have to take place singularity. They can take place at the same time. Get them
sure.
around the table. Let them sign at the same time. Have four independent negotiations going on. It's a bit unfair to prioritise, really, because they are all important in their own ways. But business point of view, obviously, Roberts is the one that would attract the most money, you would imagine. So you want to get him tied down. Unfortunately, Dan Byrne, I don't think I would bother on that case at this point, really. I think he's going to have to play his heart out next season and prove that he still has a future with Fulham, unfortunately, poor old Dan, because I think there may be other people coming in front of him anyway.
No, listen, very interesting take. And David, so I'm sorry, did you name the one player?
Well, from a financial point of view, Roberts, but I mean, Bettinelli is the kind of most important one at this minute, because he's a first-team regular.
Okay, so for you, if you were Mike Rigg, it would be Marcus Bettinelli done first.
Well, yes, but I don't think it's like that. I think it's not going to happen in practice one at a time. They can
do
them all.
Of course, I know that,
time,
David, but just for the sake of the discussion.
Okay, Bettinelli then, fine.
Bettinelli, okay. All right. No, I hear what you're saying, because he's working on all of them. I'm just trying to think of, if I'm Mike Rigg, what would be my first priority? That's the way I was looking at it. You're right. He's going to be talking to all these players. And Mike brought up a great point. This should be your core. But again, can you keep all of your core? The one player that I doubt that they can hold on for a long period of time is Patrick Roberts. So again, that's a player that concerns me. But he might be someone that you want to sign right away, because eventually he's going to leave. You feel he's going to leave, so you want to nail him down to get a larger return on your investment. So there are so many different ways to go at this. That's why I wanted to pose this topic to you guys. And, Emilio, I want to get your thoughts about this. Who would be your first signing?
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. There's so many different ways you can look at this debate. You can either put your financial hat on like I normally do, or you can put it on, you know, who should be part of Fulham Football Club. Who will actually be part of the next five-year journey for Fulham Football Club?
Right.
That's what I'm going to be focusing less on the financial element, surprisingly, and more on who will be there for that duration. Who's actually going to go through maybe another season of stability and try to move a little bit forward and to get to a point maybe in two or three seasons' time we can push for promotion back to the Premier League. And I think there's a choice of two here, in my opinion. I think Pat Roberts will not be part of it, will not be here at Fulham Football Club in 5 years' time, unless we spectacularly get promoted next season. Then he's got a chance to play in the Premier League for Fulham in 12 months' time. But the reality is a Premier League club will probably come and snap him up, and we should be looking to re-sign him on loan for a season just to give him game time, etc. And that might be an obligation for Kit Simon to play more regularly just to allow that part of the deal to go through. My two choices were Bettinelli, because I see him being at the core of the club for the next 5 years. He'll be part of that journey, part of hopefully that success story. And I will split between him and Heinemann, to be honest. I've been very impressed with Heinemann's performances in the World Cup over the last few weeks. The goals, the assists. And it's fun to sort of come into his element now. And I think, is he a potential starting starting 11 next season? So they are my preferred two. I like Dembele. You know, do I see Dembele being here in 5 years' time? No, I don't. I'd like to see him play more regularly next season. I'd like him to start, ideally. But, you know, who would I realistically see starting week in, week out in the Championship during good and bad times? I see them being Bettinelli and Heinemann. I'll probably give Bettinelli as my preferred choice of the four. And Dan Burn will be on my exit list anyway.
I'm sorry, guys. We only have about 2.5 minutes left. I'll just share real quickly what the Fulham supporters had to say. Ben Reed said Pat Roberts. Dean Rogers said Heinemann. Roger Lewis said Pat Roberts. Hope Rugg said Roberts. Marty Ward said Roberts. So we have a lot of people that think that the team should sign Roberts. Then Thomas Bender said Heinemann. Matthew Vitello said Heinemann. So, again, a few Heinemanns, but mostly Pat Roberts. And I understand that. I certainly understand that. But, guys, listen, great show. We only have 2 minutes left. I do want to mention this real quick that, again, one of the things we're going to be doing for the upcoming season is, believe it or not, we're going to have more shows. Yes, we are going to have more shows. We're going to have more things to discuss. We're going to break it down a little bit differently. The pre-match shows are only going to be between 30 minutes and an hour. I've already mentioned this on the Facebook page. And the post-match show will only be an hour. We are going to make these tighter shows. You know, I'm listening to the Fulham supporters that have asked me to make these shows shorter, and that's exactly what we're going to do for the new season. Right now we're in the off season, so we're not going to make it shorter now. But for the new upcoming season, we are going to make these shorter, tighter shows to make it a better show. We're also going to be doing special shows during the week. We might have interviews during the week. We might be looking at past matches during the week. We will be talking tactics with Matt Smith, not the Matt Smith who plays for Fulham, but the Matt Smith from South Carolina. We're actually going to be giving you more content during the week, believe it or not. We're just going to have shorter shows, so I just thought I'd mention that. And before we go over, we only have a minute left. David, do you have something you wanted to discuss real quick?
Well, I just wanted to say, for those obviously who know me, that this might be my last show for a bit. I'm not very well. I'm fine, but I've got a serious condition. Requires life-saving surgery, which is due for 10 days' time. So I might not be around next Saturday anyway, so this could be my last show for a bit. Hopefully not forever, obviously, but maybe for a few weeks. Anyone wants to chat to me about it, DM me on Twitter. Hopefully, fingers crossed, everyone. I'll be back soon.
Well, David, we all wish you the best, and I'm thinking of you, and I have faith that you will come through this with flying colors. And I'm thinking of you, David. But before we go, just want to mention real quick that we will be back next Saturday. And that's it for this show. For Russ, for myself, and my co-hosts, thank you again for listening to Cottage Talk.
Thanks.
Cheers, guys.
Thank you. See you soon, guys. Bye.
See you all. Bye-bye.